report, I think.
Sunset Planning Commission of December 11th, 2025. This is Scott Stevenson. I will...
In time.
Oh, at 6:42. Apologies for being late again. We need to excuse Commissioner Chair Penman. She's not able to make it tonight. And state myself as the acting Planning Commission Chair for tonight.
And then absent alternate Commissioner Page.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Page, right?
Yeah.
We'll also excuse Rodney Page, alternate Planning Commissioner.
Absent, not excused.
Oh, absent? Okay, absent, excuse me. Okay. We're good to go, right? All right. We do have one public comment. This is an opportunity for individuals to address the Planning Commission regarding your concerns or ideas. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per person. Please note no actions will be taken during the public comment period. We've received one via email that I'll read now so it can enter into our meeting minutes. It says, good evening, commissioners. I'm a proud Sunset resident. I'm here tonight with one humble request. Let's raise the chicken limit above 6 and please add ducks to be allowed to the animal list. Right now, 6 hens is fine. At best, okay. Nearby cities allow 8 to 10 hens, and guess what? The sky hasn't fallen. The neighborhoods aren't being overrun by chicken cartels. Life is normal, just with better breakfast. Now about ducks. I'm obsessed with the little things. I don't have ducks, but I want ducks. On a personal, emotional, borderline spiritual level, ducks are quiet. They stay in the yard. Certain breeds lay giant eggs, and they eat mosquitoes like it's their full-time job. And Sunset has a lot of mosquitoes. Honestly, it would be for the good of the city. Unpaid mosquito abatement employees. Period. I don't know where that would go. My proposal is simple. Raise the chicken limit to 8 to 10 hens and allow 2 to 4 ducks, or count them in total. And of course, I fully support rules about setbacks, cleanliness, and definitely no roosters. Because those things are basically tiny feathered alarm clocks and with anger issues that scare me. Thank you for considering this update. That would make a surprisingly big difference for families like mine and for the future ducks of Sunset City who are waiting in spirit, but would love to wait in my backyard instead. Mariah Bavaro, 1198 North, 125 West. Are there any other public comments that would like to be made at this time? Yes, please.
My name is Catherine Hunter. My address is 2104 North, 300 West in Sunset. I just wanted to take a minute to say I really appreciate our city for allowing chickens in the first place and also for being willing to talk about the chicken laws and hopefully make them even better to fit our residents. I know that we have the laws that we have to keep things safe and a little bit regulated and make sure that it's the best experience for the chicken owners and their neighbors. As it stands right now, I feel like there are like quite a few things that can feel kind of restrictive to people who want to get chickens, like the lot size requirements. Some people might be just shy of the number of square feet and then budget, they just can't have them. Or in my personal case, I have had chickens illegally in our city in the past, and it was because we had an old shed on our property when we bought it that was renovated to be a chicken coop that was like a really safe, great setup, but it was closer than 5 feet to my neighbor's fence. Talked to the neighbors, they had no issue with it at all, and I had the chickens with no problems. But according to how the code is written, that would be an issue. So I love chickens. I think that they're great. they're really good for people's mental health to have a fun pet. They're also really good pest control for mosquitoes. They provide food to people. They encourage self-sufficiency. They're really good fertilizer and all the sorts of benefits. They're really good for food scraps, which reduces the amount of waste going to our overfilled landfills. During World War II, the federal government encouraged people to have victory gardens and victory flocks, where they were telling people to have chickens, have gardens, have these things so you can provide for yourself, and they recommended 2 chickens per person in each household. And also, a few years ago during the COVID-19 pandemic, there was a lot of like food insecurity, people worried about like being able to access the things that they needed. And during that time, many people picked up gardening and chicken rearing. And I imagine there's been a huge uptick in our city of the number of people who have chickens. And I think it's really good to make it so that it's more accessible to people, more of an opportunity without barriers. And I'm not saying that we do away with everything, but I would love if there was like maybe a variance to the laws that if someone is like close to the lot size or they have a coop that's 8 feet instead of 7 feet, and they can explain like, here's a reasonable reason why I should be able to have this variance, that the city would consider it and allow those slight changes to be made on a case-by-case basis. Or maybe just lessening each of the laws that we have or finding some other alternative. But again, I really appreciate your time and appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll move on to our first item on the agenda, the approval of minutes. We have.
And there is only October 9th, perfect. Not November 13th, just October 9th. Yeah.
The October 9th minutes of 2025. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at those as a body? And if there are any concerns, we need to share.
No concerns.
Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of October 9th, 2025.
All right, so moved.
Second. Okay, either one.
And then I think we need to table after we do the whole vote.
Okay, so the approval, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, that one passes. And we'll table the motion to table the approval of minutes from November 13th, 2025.
I move that we table the approval of minutes from November 13th, 2025.
And Mike is the second. All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Okay, we'll do that later. Okay, the first item on our action items is the discussion that we kind of began last time about amending our zoning code to allow group homes.
How did this come about since I missed last meeting?
We essentially found some that were not in compliant that we currently have within the city, and we figured that we probably should figure out how to do that. Yeah, there are currently homes that are being used as group homes within the city, and we don't have a definition of how to handle that.
We don't have anything allowing it or disallowing it.
So, do you have the supporting documents that we kind of started talking about?
I do. I only had one person submit stuff. Rodney did send in a link, but the link didn't work. It looked like part of the URL was missing, and then there was a screenshot, but I have no idea what city it's from. So I'm not sure what his faults were with it.
So for the most part, neighboring cities allow for group homes with certain conditions. If I can summarize mostly what we were able to find. And that's a question of how do we want to handle it here in the Sunset. We kind of eliminated allowing them in the R4, where it's already multifamily.
R3.
R3, thank
ours
you.
Is R3.
Because that's already a condensed area, and what we know of currently, the ones that are in question are in R1.
How many are there?
I did just double check with the chief and had asked him, and he got back to me. We have, I think it's a total of 4 or 5. I looked up the other ones that he provided me with. They are all in R1. None of them are in R3.
Okay.
So good to know moving forward.
So it is a handful. And
oh, and he also, I had asked him, you guys had spoken last time about potentially making it a conditional use. And I did ask him his thoughts on that. He said that sounds like a good idea to him, because I explained we had discussed that if it is a conditional use, we can have them come, give them the conditions. Then if they don't meet the conditions, it gives law enforcement a little bit more teeth to back that up with, because we can always remove the license based upon the fact that it's a conditional use. And he said that sounded great to him.
So,
what kind the ones that were here are?
He believes they're all behavioral health, because most of them are under the Davis Behavioral Health. So, and The other company that moved in, I have not been able to get a hold of them. So I still have some questions, but it does look from their website like it is a behavioral health one. But yeah, I've not been able to find licensing information on them or contact information. So.
Have we had any problems with the ones that do exist?
I believe they've had some calls out to them in the past. I don't know the details of all of those calls. I know that there have been some calls. I think that would be a question. If we really wanted more details on that, we could potentially see if Chief Jamison could provide a statement or come.
Yeah, and I think the consideration that we were talking about with that regard is, does it then increase the load on us as a city and our city resources for police, fire, every group and stuff like that?
Well, and so you would maybe give the citizens that live in the close approximation a chance to voice their thoughts on how it's been in the past.
Well, and we have to provide that opportunity anyways by law, because mm-hmm. once we determine what we are thinking of doing, we have to have that public hearing anyways.
Yeah.
And we can certainly advertise that for everyone who wants to come.
So I think from what we found, for the most part, and this would fall underneath the same situation, is most of the groups are for assisted living types or residential type care. Or a healthcare type situation. And so the mental health for Davis's ad would fall under that the other cities are allowing. So I'm comfortable with moving forward with creating a method for doing this. And I do think the conditional use is probably one of the most appropriate ones for us so that we can at least talk through that process. But
conditional use in R1.
Yeah, because then we can make sure that it's fit. Yeah. And I think the biggest issue is we now know where they're at, that they have to have some conditional uses.
Like, yeah, they know what building is that they're reporting to. Yeah. I don't know if this falls into that. I know there are some duplexes and quadruplexes that have Davis behavioral people living in them also independently, but pretty much the whole unit is those type of residents.
Correct. So
and they don't have any supervision other than where visits they get. I don't think Davis behavioral comes out with it very often. But,
and those aren't group homes, those are apartments.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a different conversation.
Right,
yeah, so I think for us defining what the group home definition is that we want to specifically define, I think it's going to be.
Is there? I just thought of this, so let me get it out. Is there a separate set of requirements for fire and internal organization of the home based on the fact that it's? I mean, it's not a multi-family house, and so you would think that there might be some more fire regulations or something about a building like that with...
Like perhaps on the state level or some other level.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well,
you know.
And there may be, and if there are, if we are having them get a business license...
Then they would have to comply
then
with
then they would
it
have
was.
To. It would no longer be... So, like, we can't do fire inspections or building inspections for a private residence.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a group home, it wouldn't be a private residence. So
no.
I believe we could require that fire inspection and business inspection of the property.
Yeah, and Mike mentioned that the Roy one has very specific codes that it's also following related to that requirement. So
right,
I think that
yeah.
helps us take some enforcement level.
Yeah, I think that we need to have that.
So do you guys have concerns about moving forward with this? And do we have types that we don't want to allow for group home usages within the city? I personally don't think because of the nature of our city, where R1 is essentially neighbor to neighbor, that having homes that are bringing in significant risks for our community would be appropriate.
I think it, one of the ones that's in here mentions not allowed for residents instead of incarceration. I don't remember exactly how it listed. One of the things I was reading from, I guess it's from Rowan.
Yeah.
This really does not include placement in lieu of confinement.
That's what I was looking for. Does not include placement instead of confinement or rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And that's under the one for elderly persons, but I don't think they have it under their one for assisted living or for persons with a disability. Which is interesting.
The one above elderly, so it's any elderly, but then it's also persons with disability. It doesn't have anything else that's there. And it could be that they are, the beginning paragraph tells why. The definition shall not include any facility which meets definition of a residential facility for elderly persons or residential facility for persons with a disability.
Since technically then that one could be a halfway house for assisted living.
Which says the disability does not include placement in lieu of confinement, rehabilitation, or treatment in a correctional facility. Is that what you were thinking of, Mike?
Yes.
I definitely agree with that one.
And that's in both, but that's referring to the elderly and then the disability. So I think they've narrowed their scope by saying these are what we're going to allow.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two definitions we're going to allow for group homes to exist.
Right.
And I will say I do like, from a business licensing standpoint, that under the facility for persons with a disability, it does say that they have to be licensed or certified by Department of Human Health under the healthcare facilities. That does make it easier for us to figure out whether we should or should not license them if it requires a license from the state, because then it's real simple. You've got it or you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I actually did not reach out to them or the other company, because as a city, we're supposed to remain neutral. So I was told we cannot reach out, because that would obviously sway our opinion as a city towards one company or one specific type of facility. I did reach out to the licensing, and I did not hear back from the licensing department, because I had questions for them as well about the home that moved in there, because I can't find a license for it. So.
Yeah, and so I think keeping this, because I think finding the correct term, because I don't like the term disability for mental health, but I think that's the group that I think it would work, right? Because to me, there is still a health challenge that's being trying to be addressed there, and so I think that's where finding that right term, then the ROI kind of falls with what I'm thinking in my head is what we should allow.
I mean, I think the term disability might be what we need to use, because that's, I mean, American ADA, the Disability Act, I feel like it aligns with that language.
As long as we're using the right language, I just don't want to.
I mean, I question the term as well as a teacher. You know, is it a disability or is it an extra ability?
It could be a state definition also, because, for example, in Florida, being a minor is considered a disability. Disability is removed when you get married or turn 18. As far as my business goes and work, child labor laws and stuff like that. So that's probably something we could check with state.
Shall be placed
state definitions. Yeah. Pardon? That's one company I've never worked with. So I always thought that was absolutely amazing, the way that that was the description that they used in the law. So I don't know what you thought is specifically. I haven't gotten into that because I've only been involved with one place that I, consultant for, and so I didn't know everybody's business.
So I'd like to read through what Roy has. If we have any challenges or concerns, let's stop and talk about that, but that's probably what I would propose we move forward with. So just to do this, and I'll make one modification just so it's relevant to us. Allows as permitted under R1, and so that would change to allows as conditional within R1. Assisted living facility, commonly referred to as residential care, assisted living or personal care community. A residential facility with common area in which services are available to residents who may still live independently within the facility itself. Help is generally offered to connect day-to-day tasks such as taking medication, bathing, dressing, using the bathroom, getting to appointments, or preparing meals. A variety of services and amenities such as the dining room, sewers, group outings, and recreational and social programs are usually available. This definition shall not include any facility which meets the definition of residential facility for elderly persons or residential facility for persons with disability. So we might have to change that one because those are defined here below just slightly. So
we are including the other two as well as assisted living facilities? Because I think assisted living we had said was commercial.
Yeah, I think that's where we want to try and make the difference that's there. Because I do remember that conversation that we felt that this assisted living facility should be in a commercial zone.
It was in our former
code. Yeah, I think it is.
Okay, so that would be what we would push into not allowing the R1.
So just take that out then.
This is how they have it, right?
Okay.
Roy had under R3 and R4 for Roy.
Yeah.
And then the next one is allowed in all residential zones.
Yeah, so R3, R4, R5 is where within there, because I'm assuming the R is standing for R residential,
right.
Still in a way. But there's breakouts of theirs where we don't have this one. Right. So here's the next one would be allowed in all residential zones, and that's where it's R1. Thank you for the correction, Sarah. Residential facility for the elderly persons, a single family or multifamily dwelling unit that does not operate as a business and is owned by one of the residents or an immediate family member for one of the residents. Or the title is placed in trust for a resident and meets the requirements of Utah Code.
So we probably want to take out multifamily dwelling unit then because we don't allow that in R1. Do we want it to be owned by one of the residents? Because if we do that, that's going to make it hard for DBH and others to come into compliance.
I think that kind of negates what we're going for, isn't it?
I think we need to control who owns it.
Yes, but in our case, that makes it, as they're mentioning, if it has to be owned by one of the residents or an immediate family member of one of the residents, then the ones that we currently have don't. So it's, I think what caught me here, just reading through this again out loud, is it's does not operate as a business.
Yeah, that's weird because to me that's an adult daycare.
I think this is in the way of our ADU stuff. Because people are going to be paying to live there. Mm-hmm. So it is a business.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it's some sort of a nonprofit, but I don't know of many elderly homes that are nonprofits. Most of them are definitely for profit.
Yeah. So it is a business. And that's why we have a business license.
What types of places are the one or what's existing now?
The ones that I know of are behavioral health ones, so I don't know of any with elderly.
But what kind of building? That's what I'm looking
for. Oh, they're single family dwellings.
So how many people have they jammed in there?
That's a great question. I don't have the numbers.
Do they have a 10x10 cells that they put people in, and there's four of them in there, or what?
The experience that I have that just because my mother-in-law was in one.
Mm-hmm.
Is each individual had their own bedroom in a room. So think about your home.
Yeah.
That becomes their room. that's there, and then they shared the common kitchen areas and living room areas and stuff like that. But their bedroom was their kind of area. Now, like, there's a loose definition of a group home because there wasn't, like, someone there 24/7. One of the residents was kind of like, I'm the home den mother, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of made sure shopping happened and everything else was doing okay and kind of making sure and checking on their meds and stuff like that.
And that was a behavioral home or an elder home? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my aunt just lived in a fancy place, you know, where everybody had their own little mini apartment.
Yeah.
And they had nurses and, you know, all kinds of.
Yeah, and those ones I think we want to keep in a commercial setting.
Yeah.
Not the residential.
Yeah, like Country Pines.
Well, that
my mom lives in there, and that's, she's got her own basically bedroom.
Yeah.
And then they have their common area where they eat and all that kind of stuff.
In my experience for my mother-in-law, this was a residential home inside of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't have assumed it was a group home,
right?
Because you're just driving down the neighborhood. And that's where we stopped to see grandma. So.
And that's basically what we have now that we're trying
to put into code.
So that's right.
We can allow for it.
So, this elderly person's facility,
yeah, I don't know.
Do we want that or not? Because that,
if it's
not operated as a business.
Well, I think that's got to.
How do we know they're taking care of the elderly people if we're not going to have elder abuse issues?
We never know when an elementary school is going to close and
But that would be commercial, and that would be the assisted living, and so it would be allowed. But this is in residential.
Unfortunately, I think we need to continue to pursue this, but I think we need to find a correct model to follow
here. And I don't see it. Like me, and I wanted to run this as a business. Would it be easier for me to get a loan and buy the house privately myself, or if I had an LLC? That business thing. I was
Well, anybody that's going to do it is going to want to do it as a business.
But if you're doing it as a business, you're subject to requirements from the state for operating an elder care facility so that you don't have instances of elder care abuse.
Sure.
Are we going to open the door to instances of elder care abuse by letting people operate these non-business operations?
I think
what my thought is. I got a worst-case scenario.
Again, I don't think this is the correct model for us to follow. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go find one where they are looking for it as a business, as a group home, and doing that.
But then it's going to be assisted living, and it's not going to be allowed in R1 anyways because it's a business that would have to be in one of our commercial areas.
I'm still trying to think of finding it where they're allowing a business for
a residential.
In a residential.
Okay.
That's there.
But
as a business.
So I'll just put a placeholder here for that for now then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got super excited to move forward with it, but reading through this again, and sorry for not getting more of this beforehand, we don't have the right template to follow for this one. So I would like to potentially table this discussion for another meeting, if that's okay with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to table the discussion on amending our current zoning code for allowing group homes.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Before we do that, do we want to do specific assignments like we did before to somebody go and look at certain cities so that we don't just send them?
Well, he's already got Syracuse and Roy in there, didn't he?
I put him in.
You put him in?
Yeah.
So that way we all can go out and, you know, I'll take a couple cities, you take a couple cities, and looking for what we're looking for, so we don't come back and be what we same place are.
Yeah, I think finding an assignment is good. The problem I have is I don't think we're going to find it in every city. So I think having more of a subcommittee, hey, the two of us are going to look at this and try to tackle this together and maybe working together as a team, try to do that.
Yeah, let's
find
great.
Out.
As long as we have some.
Is anybody wanting to try to
put some direction on it so we know this?
So he wants us to be successful.
Right.
The Davis County things that are here already.
Mm-hmm.
Do they own? Who owns those houses?
Davis Behavioral Health.
Maybe we just stick with something like that, and not get into individual ownership. That way they already have oversight.
So they actually own the houses?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I can double check on the county.
On the county plat.
Yeah. Davis Behavioral is a non-profit, I believe. I think they're a 501(c).
Somebody running a...
Well, there's a business that they have to, a home business to rent the
room. I think we still need to have some guidelines along that because we're...
They are.
Well, I don't disagree, but I'm saying that adds another layer of protection.
Exactly. I think you're right, because I think what they're trying to do is find a facility, a home, where they can make this work for what their needs look like.
We could limit it instead of limiting it to instead of saying that's not a business, we could put in there that is not a business operation, but is operated by a nonprofit organization. Because then it would allow places that are nonprofit organizations to still do it.
Right. Davis County government's nonprofit.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know what. Is Davis Behavioral a separate entity or are they part of the county government? Probably.
No, they're a 501(c)(3) nonprofit. They're a mental health agency.
Oh, it's not county.
So they're not county.
Okay. No. I think you're probably thinking of Davis Community Housing Administration, I think is what it's called. They also have apartments in Sunset that are rented out.
Okay.
But they're not, I don't think they're necessarily behavioral health. I think it's just like low-income Section 8 type thing.
I mean, I know. People that are clients of Davis Behavioral that live in the apartment complexes off of.
Right, but they're rented out as apartments and they actually have rental licenses for those now.
So who
it may be something to look at in the future. In the past, they had allowed those to be exempt, which then they're not contributing to our disproportionate use fees.
Okay. I mean, is it Davis Behavioral that rents those out, or is it the client?
Davis Behavioral Health is the landlord.
Yeah. They own the apartment.
Yes.
Oh, I see. They're the landlord and rent them out to the...
Yes.
Okay, now I understand. Sorry.
And so because it's under a rental license, it's not a short-term rental. It's all long-term rentals.
A subset within what we are trying to do. So. I would like to see a couple people try to tackle this. And I know it's going to be over the holidays and stuff like that, but I would like to see just what this looks like. And maybe you want to take one?
I'll take one.
Okay. And just start looking to see. I think if you were to say, here's the cities that have it, and communicate that back out to all of us and say, here's what I'm doing, and finding it, then we can find the right plan to go forward with.
Yeah, I know a couple of people in other cities, council members and stuff that I can get a hold of and kind of get their attitude on them. I guess I don't know if that's the right word, but
how do we go about approaching? Because I think the thing that we're thinking about is we want to allow this, but we want to allow it in the right format, which means we want the nonprofits, we want those that are trying to do a benefit to the community, but in a good way. Because the other piece that's to this that always goes weird is, do I create a nonprofit and then do I run the place into the ground with the trash as people are today? So, I don't want to say that it could be abused in that way.
Well, if we're licensing them, we have some control over that.
Yeah. I think that's the situation that we want to ensure to control.
Yeah. So. And make them conditional, like we were talking about, so that
they
then we have more control over that.
Okay. So Mike's going to take the assignment to start looking for who currently has us in this kind of format that we're looking for, and then communicate back out.
So I move that we table this until next meeting, with myself looking into guidelines of what's happening in other areas to bring back a report back to the commission.
Thank you. And to add, Rodney added some stuff that we couldn't find. Team up with him and see where he's going with some of it. So. Okay, we have a motion to table this item.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That was unanimous. So the second item on our action items for tonight is to discuss amending code 10-5A-7 chicken in single family residential zones, ownerships, and maintenance. Hearing our discussion tonight from our
two residents,
what's our thoughts?
We need to do some homework. Eight to ten chickens sounds like a lot for a place. I don't have problems with the lot size being less than 8,000. I just think that we need to kind of find out what's going on out there in the world.
The chicken smell. How many of you have owned chickens? Okay. Yeah, they smell.
I wouldn't want one of those on my back steps.
And I grew up raising pigeons.
And ducks. My brother got bit by a chicken. Does that count?
And ducks.
Yeah.
Did they smell worse than your neighbor's big dog?
Hang on a sec. Do you want the report on why this is on the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me give you a little bit of background. I did put a post up this year about our chicken permits because we only have about 5 people in the city that have chicken permits, and I know that there's more than 5 chicken owners in Sunset because I am part of our local backyard chickens group, and so I see a lot of stuff on there, and it just – I'm like, ooh. But that's not why it's on the agenda. I had put up about the chicken permits because they are supposed to be renewed every year before December 31st.
Okay.
And last year we had some people come in that never ended up renewing. So I kind of took the last couple of years, even from before I was here, and contacted those owners this year and said, hey, if you do still have chickens, please make sure you come in before December 31st and get that renewed. We've had 3 come in and renew so far. But when I put that up on social media, we had some comments from people who were like, well, it's not fair that we have to have an 8,000 square foot lot. This should be looked at again. And we've also had requests from some other citizens in the past that have come in and applied for chicken permits, been denied, because when I do process their permit, I do pull it up on Davis County and I verify that their lot size is actually what they say it is. And sometimes it's not. And so then I can't approve their chicken permit because it doesn't meet the lot size. A lot of times it's very close. It's within a couple of hundred square feet short. And they're like, can't you just do it? And I can't because our code says I can't. So I can't give it to them. Also, from what I understand from office manager Shep, this was created whenever Roy City created their chicken code. So we had kind of gone off of what they had at the time. And since then, both Roy and Clinton, who is a little bit more similar to us, both of them have modified their chicken code recently and changed it. And so we felt that it was probably a good time to put this back on the agenda since we had public interest.
Yeah, in what ways?
I have it pulled up right now. I'll look at Roy first and then Clinton and speak to Syracuse and West Point and Layton and many of the other cities in our area have a point-based system where typically you get 100 points per acre. You have to deduct a certain amount from that acreage for your residence. So West Point, I looked up today, you have to deduct 0.20 acres from your total points. Most of those cities that do the point system automatically allow 4 chickens per household. And then based upon the extra points you have, so, for example, I have a lot that's approximately 0.25 acres. I have to deduct 0.20 acres. So I get 5 points, which can be used for 1 rabbit, 1 extra chicken, or 1 duck. So if I want on my size lot, I can have 5 chickens on a quarter acre.
Beyond the 4.
No, in total.
So 1 in addition to the 4 that you're granted, every household can have 4.
Okay.
Yep. So then you're granted extra according to those points. So I think that's kind of what Roy and Clinton were thinking when they did what they did. So Roy City changed theirs. And they didn't necessarily do a point system, but here's what they have. It's only in the single family residential zones, so it's only in like their equivalent of R1, not our R3. All single family residential properties that have a minimum of 6,000 square feet, and that's the key thing that they did, is they took their minimum down to 6,000 square feet because of the smaller lots. On their property shall be allowed to have up to a number of chickens, excluding roosters and crowing hens, or a number of rabbits, or any combination of chickens or rabbits, not to exceed the number listed in the following chart, which is according to the size of the parcel. This would exclude dependent young. So they're saying if you have chicks, you don't have to count them, because there are people that will raise, hatch out chicks and then sell them. But 6 to 15,000 square feet, they went with 6 chickens, 15,000 to 30,000, 12, and then 30,000 to 50,000 square foot lot gets 18. 50,000 plus square foot lot gets 25. I don't know that we have to go that high. There are a couple of other things that they changed. Our current code, let's see here, where's the phrasing? Our current code allows up to 6 hens. We also have some things in there for our essentially setbacks. So we have that it has to be 40 feet from any primary residential dwelling on an adjoining property, and at least 5 feet from the property line, and that it cannot be taller than 7 feet, which is what our public comment was referring to. And then we do have in there, anytime a heating device is employed, that coop has to be at least 10 feet from any dwelling, which I think something of that sort is important to keep, because, I mean, there was just a coop fire in Layton that spread to the house recently. The other cities changed some of those things to allow, I think both Roy and Clinton are 25 feet from adjacent dwellings. And then they do still have the height requirement, 25 feet from any dwelling for Roy and 6 feet from the property line, so that's about the same. And then they require it that it's only 6 feet from a dwelling on the same lot. However, even though they reduced those numbers, they added that you had to have so many square feet per animal, which we do not have. So things to consider.
The coop size has to be so many square feet per animal.
Yeah, so they put, we have in ours, we have something that says it cannot be, no coop, pen, cage, or similar structure shall exceed 150 square feet. So we have a maximum in there, but we don't have a minimum. So if we have somebody that wants to cram, you know, 15, well, they shouldn't have 15 to begin with. So, but if we have somebody that wants to cram 6 chickens into one of the chicken coops that people make out of a trash can, I mean, technically we don't have anything saying they can't do that, which is really unsanitary.
Well, they need to be tweaked about that. Except that they can't make it out.
I mean, our code doesn't, our code does not specify materials.
The other one that was in there had something about what the materials couldn't be, scrap materials.
Ours doesn't, ours doesn't go into any of that detail.
I think I did, and it does say they can't be made out of scrap material in our current code.
I'm looking at it right now.
Because I went to read it as we were bringing it up.
Ours says that the chicken feed has to be stored and dispensed in a rodent-proof and predator-proof container. Chicken coop itself does not necessarily have to be rodent-proof or predator-proof, which does say the coop and roaming area have to be in neat and sanitary condition and cleaned, but it does not say anything about, you know, what materials. In which city?
Number 5.
Oh, yeah.
F5 in Sunset City.
Oh, you're right. It does say it. Okay. But still, a trash can's not.
Yeah, it doesn't. We don't have clarity of how that.
If I buy a new trash can at Lowe's, that's not scrap or dilapidated materials. And I have the plans.
You better watch out.
This is said from somebody that did have illegal chickens in Pennsylvania, and yes, I did construct the coop out of random things I got off Craigslist. So if you want to know the ways it can go wrong, I am your prime example right here.
I grew up in rural Kentucky County, South Texas. I've seen all kinds of chickens. So, and just for the record, 8,000 square feet is 0.18 acres. So, so based on they can only have their four chickens anywhere. And what was that from Layton?
That's West Point. That's where I'm at.
Where the point system is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think we can look around, put some stuff together. And then if people want to do something different, come in for variance or
come in during the public hearing and say what would we can modify. Like here's what our best guess looks like. Right. If we don't get anybody to say that this is not the right situation, we gave you a chance to tell us that at one
point.
That 40-foot from main dwellings, that's a huge number.
Well,
I'm looking at Clinton's. They actually have a very cool sample site plan, and it just gives you all these pieces that are there. They have 35 feet from a neighbor's dwelling in any corner, and only 10 feet from your home or any other structure.
Yeah, so it's very similar to ours.
Still trying to keep it away.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is
yeah, but ours is 40 from the main dwelling.
And how big is this room? I can't visualize 40 feet.
Your city bus is what, 50
that's
feet?
That's probably 20 feet to the back of the room.
A semi-trailer is 53 foot, right?
Yeah. 53
or
72.
We don't have lots that big, do we?
Well, I was just saying if you have 40 foot, but then you have to have 5 foot and 5 foot, and then you're talking 50 feet.
And so that is
even the size of it.
Yeah.
That is one of the issues that I have also run into when people bring in their plans. Some of them do have the sufficient amount of square footage, but when they hand me their site plan for where the coop is, it has to be in the rear yard according to our code.
Yeah.
And sometimes they have so many other things in their rear yard or the way it is, it just doesn't work. There's a lot of different things.
Ours is a minimum from 5 feet from the property line.
It's 5 feet from the property line. It's
15 minimum from the property line. So it really wants it in your yard versus being right at the edge.
Yeah.
But is the 40 feet from where you put it to the neighbor's house?
So, the corner. Right?
From any primary residential dwelling.
Mm-hmm. I can't be 40 feet. So if your house is right here, mm-hmm. I need to make sure I have a 40-foot distance between you.
That's what I thought,
And I don't think that's unreasonable.
For the neighbors, no. It says 40 feet from the main dwelling and then 10 foot from any other dwelling.
Yeah, and I think our main dwelling needs to change. Because if someone
you can have it 10 feet away from the neighbor house, but 40 feet away from your house. Yeah.
Well, the 40 feet from on an adjoining property.
Yeah, the 40 feet says
if you're looking at 10.
Primary residential dwelling on an adjoining property.
Yeah.
Okay, so that matches what Clinton's doing because theirs is 35.
Yeah.
But there's only a requirement that has to be 10 feet away from their main dwelling on their property.
Well, Matt, it does say with ours. We only have that requirement if they're using the heating device, but it is 10 feet from any dwelling.
And I think we move away from if they're using it, because let's be honest, they're probably going to use one.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just put it in there that it needs to be 10 feet away from any other dwelling.
Or probably, any other,
structure.
So, chicken owner, do you use heating devices?
Well, I don't have a chicken right now.
But in the past,
when we first started, we didn't. But it's real hard to chip out that ice every morning and put fresh water. So we did end up running. We ended up running a cord out to it, and until I was told not to use an extension cord, I did use
that light.
Because I had a friend here and asked about that, and he said, "No, they don't use a heater."
You don't have to.
You definitely don't.
Because the chickens kept enough heat in the enclosed space that they're okay.
Well, and I didn't use a heat lamp, to clarify. I just used a little warmer thing that went under the water to defrost the water. Yeah, because that has less of an issue than it's the heat lamps that are mostly the issue and cause a lot of fires. And they are destructive. We had one in our other neighborhood. The coop caught on fire, and then the whole house, they were out of their house for like 2 years while it
Because where I was around chickens, you didn't need that stuff because it was never that cold.
It depends how your coop is built. If your coop is built that you have some natural light that comes in, sometimes your hens, mine laid all year round, even without a heat lamp.
And then what's the height problem?
Honestly, I don't know why that's in there, but Roy
I mean, she
has it as well.
Obviously, wanted more height.
Was that in the individual that was here?
Yeah.
Yes, Catherine said something about.
She said Catherine? She had an 8-foot shed.
Yeah. Catherine?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
She's
talking about variances.
Yeah, like 8-foot tall shed.
If you can avoid that, that's what you want. That's better.
Well, yeah, and I've got a shed in my backyard that's probably 12 feet tall. So, and I kid around with my wife about putting chickens in there all the time. She's like, no way, that ain't happening.
And honestly, the nicer coops, the last coop that I had was one of those huge coops that are really pretty. And that one, I think that one might have been over 7 feet at the peak.
Well, is it because most fences are 6 feet, and so you don't want somebody...
Well, the doorway is 7 feet, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking is...
Yeah, mine was probably at least 7 feet.
The ones that you see at
tippy top,
wherever I say in those places, are not that tall.
No, I don't.
You're using a shed.
Yeah, I don't know why that was in there. I think we probably did it because Roy had it in there, and I don't know what their reasoning was. Because you're right, a shed is, and a lot of people do. I have a friend over in Clinton that she uses. She got one of those sheds and converted it. And,
like a tough shed.
Yeah, and it's her chicken coop. She has stuff built into it, nesting boxes. It's actually really nice, really sanitary, and some of those are actually much better, easier to keep clean and predator-proof than the smaller ones. So I don't feel like the height thing. I don't know what the reason would be for it.
My concern is that who in the summertime attracting flies if the owners aren't cleaning up enough or using the right type of flooring?
Well... And rats, because I know we have issues. I've had residents come in down by the railroad tracks. I guess that, like, field area that's by the tracks, there's the people that their houses abut that have come in and complained that, who do I need to call about maintaining that property? Because they get rats from that field area that hang out there. And I just think, oh, my gosh, I hope none of them have chickens because that really draws them in then. And then you get... But, I mean, we do have in there that it has to be kept in predator-proof.
So, the chicken feed? Is that what they're going after?
So, when you have chickens, they will go after the feed, but also they'll go after the chickens themselves. Typically, if you're doing chicken keeping the right way, you're supposed to use a hardware mesh, and you're actually supposed to dig down, I want to say it's like 2 feet under your coop, and line the whole way around your coop with that hardware mesh, because there are predators that will actually dig down and dig under your coop and come up in, and they'll get into the feed that's inside the coop. They'll get your hens. But a lot of the people that are getting into chickens nowadays aren't all doing the research, and so a lot of them are just going to IFA or Tractor Supply. They're getting one of those cute little ones, shutting it in the backyard and not predator proofing it. But I mean, you're gonna have that no matter what, probably.
Like if I turn my shed into concrete floor, then that's not an issue.
I mean, they still recommend that you do that outside because you're probably gonna have a run.
Right, sure.
Or something like that.
Yeah, around the run, but like
the
coop, but it's our understanding. Oh yeah, that's a good point. A run. Do we have anything that talks about the coop and then how to go around here?
Well, our space talks about the run. It says that the whole thing can't exceed 150 square feet. I don't know that it mentions the run other than that. I mean, it does say they have to be kept in a coop or enclosed area. We don't allow free-range chickens. And then, but I think one of the cities I was looking at, I don't know if it was Clinton or Roy, one of them did have something about a run, like saying that you had to give them one.
Have you guys in the front office heard of anybody complaining in the city about chicken coop?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was another question.
We have had complaints. I had a guy come in one time because he works night shifts and sleeps during the day, and his neighbors have hens that crow all day long. And he was like,
what if a crow flew in the yard? Crows are just the same volume as a crowing hen.
I don't know. Have you ever had a crowing hen? Especially a Delaware hen, the huge black ones that are like 3 feet tall. Like, those things are evil.
3 feet
and,
tall?
Oh, they're huge. They're Delaware, like, mixed with a Jersey giant that I got the one time. Those things were massive and they were evil.
So do we need to start addressing species of chickens too?
No, that's a whole...
I think the crowing hen is...
If we go into, like, all of the different species, we're going to be here all night. Don't get me started.
Or if there's a crowing hen.
But we do have a, yeah, we do have a thing to prevent crowing hens. But so we had that complaint, and then there was another time somebody came in to complain just about the smell and stuff, and they're like, do they have a chicken permit? They did have a chicken permit. So I'm like, you're welcome to go talk to the police. I'm not going to enforce any code. You're welcome to chat with the police. So
I don't see anything inside of Clinton about the restrictions for the number of chickens.
In Clinton, yeah, so they have under 2A, the little I, it says up to 6 chickens are allowed on any residentially zoned lot. More than 6 chickens are allowed on at least 7,000 square feet at a ratio of 1 chicken per 1,000 square feet of lot area, up to a maximum of 12 chickens. So if you have 8,000 square feet, you get an additional chicken. You can have 7 chickens.
They can get at 6,000, they can have 6, right?
7,000, they can have 6.
That's where I messed up. Okay.
Yeah, and then every additional 1,000 square feet, they get 1 extra chicken.
So that makes I think that's where I'm more towards leaning. I don't want to do the point system. I think that's going to be too complicated.
Yeah.
I think we can lower. So our main points that we need to try to address then to help smooth this process out for the whole city is a lower lot size, and then allowing for increased numbers than we currently do.
What about the mix of ducks?
I don't know about ducks.
Ducks tend to lead to standing water is the only thing that we'd need to consider.
Let's not even go there then.
I mean, they do eat the mosquitoes, as do guinea hens.
But if they're not able to roam, though, the mosquitoes have to come into their enclosure to eat.
Yeah.
I'm not accepting they eat the mosquitoes as part of what we're thinking about.
I mean, chickens will eat mosquitoes, too. Yeah. So if you want mosquito eaters, get some chickens or guinea hens.
But they have to come into their enclosure. Like, because we're not allowing for free range to happen.
They're not standing at my front door eating every mosquito.
But I like the, whatever, I remember which city was you're talking about, where it was either or. Yeah, chickens, ducks, whatever.
Roy was the one I read that had combination of, but it was chickens and rabbits. They don't allow ducks. They allow chickens and rabbits, and Clinton, I don't think, allows either of those. Ducks are loud, yeah. They are so loud. My neighbor has illegal ducks. Now, Clinton does allow quail to be substituted for chickens. And quail are nice.
They're
dual purpose meat. They lay eggs at 6 weeks instead of having to wait till 24 weeks. Very highly nutritious egg.
No ducks here.
I'm okay. No ducks.
Are you okay with no ducks?
Well, I think ducks are cute, but I don't really want one in my backyard either.
I think for me it's a standing water issue.
They'd have to have a little pond.
Yeah, and to me, ducks are a little bit less hygienic than chickens. They seem to make a little bit more.
Depends. I would say it the other way around.
The chickens are.
The chickens are more mixed than the ducks.
It depends on the
breed. If you have the standing water, they're generating their own mosquitoes. So it's not like they're taking away the ones that are already there.
Okay.
They're making their own.
Can they eat the larva, or do they have to at least get us at the hatch and fly around before they eat
them? They probably eat them fly.
So do we want to do rabbits or quail or anything, or we just want to stick to chickens?
No. Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Wouldn't it be nice if our residents actually followed the rules instead of breaking them all and then making us change the rules?
Do we allow rabbits now?
No.
We have a specific
no, we do not.
So it specifically does not allow them, or we just...
I mean, we just don't have anything saying...
If I remember correctly about
no. I don't think it even says anything in our pet section. I think it only mentions dog and cat.
Multiple long test for the city, so it's certainly appropriate to make changes.
Yeah.
Not working.
Okay, so I think if we were to go, and I'm sorry, we have the code number here. License, $15?
That's our current. We have it. It's $15, and it's renewable every year.
Why don't we make it $25?
Well,
Clinton's was $25.
I was going to say what everybody else.
But is Clinton's a one-time? I feel like theirs was.
I don't think the map is the key.
Getting them on paper.
Well, yes, I think it's key getting them on paper, but. Getting them on paper needs to pay for the expense of keeping.
Yeah.
You can't go to McDonald's for $15 anymore.
Now, ooh, interesting. Roy does say that when they get the application for the permit fees shall be set forth in fee schedule by the city. They do renew theirs, so I'm assuming they do have an annual fee. And then it does say that notice to adjacent neighbors, upon receiving an application under this section, zoning administrator shall cause notice of the application to be sent by mail to all owners of property immediately adjacent to the subject property.
Oh.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess just to let them know.
Everybody's just going to say no.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't say that if they say no, you do anything. It just says that they notify the neighbors.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that.
I think it's just a notification thing.
They're all going to show up here.
I just think that's interesting.
they're all going to show up here. They're all going to show up at City Council and say, hey, where, you know, I said, no, why are they still have plans?
Which part did you see the fee in for
Clinton? We don't make people notify all their neighbors that they get a big dog. Right?
Or a little yappy one.
Yeah.
Even if it's cute.
It says payment of appropriate fees, if any, check with the Community Development Department. But I thought I saw someplace else that Clinton was 25.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it was... I was fine, but I just don't want to discourage people from reporting stuff because it's 25.
I think it's Layton City that does, I want to say it's $40, and they have an inspector come out. I'm pretty sure it's Layton. They have an inspector come out, inspect, and then it's like $40, but it's a one-time thing.
Look, we've only had a handful of these people come forward and do this process. Let's keep it at 15 for the moment and decide if this becomes a level of need that we can't fund it through your efforts of paying the fee that we are overwhelmed with what's being done, then we have to look into the piece of the fee.
Yeah, fees can be raised later. Sure.
So let's move on with that one.
Okay.
What did you say?
There you go.
Did you want a fee per chicken?
$5 per chicken. You want 10 chickens? $50.
So keep it at 15 and keep it every year?
Yes.
Keep it annual. Okay.
Because I think what we're trying to get to do there is we're trying to say, hey, what's going on, what's happening, and some sort of checks that are happening.
Well, I mean, you license your dog or cat every year, hopefully, if you follow the rules with Davis County.
I need to get with you on that.
I wasn't allowed to bring home the cats we adopted until they were licensed. So
what about, you want to talk fines for violations?
There you go.
Do you?
Let's allow it first, and then we can figure out if it becomes a problem. So the current code we're talking about is up to 6 hens. I think that I do like the consideration that we lower, and then at those lot sizes that get bigger and bigger, we can allow more animals per 1,000 feet. What are your guys' thoughts on that? 1,000 acres.
I'd love 1,000 acres.
8,000
is the current one.
8,000 is 0.18 acres. So what size are the typical lots?
That's tiny. That's what I have.
So a lot of our lots
fit from the back, you know, or two.
Because mine's like, I think mine's 0.3, so that's like 13,000.
One thing that I would love to get us as a data point for us is to find out the size of our lots, what our average size lots look like, and how that is across the city. Because I don't know that number.
Well, we have looked at it one time.
We haven't fully vetted all that data.
Yeah.
To get one. So I don't have a good sense of where we're at with that. But in both cases, people are asking for more animals. And I think it's great to allow them to have more animals if they have the lot sizes that can support them. And so I think basically if we were to say you can have 6 at 6,000 square feet.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
And then add every one. So right now one of those examples was 7,000, 6, and then at 8 you can have one more.
What about the distance from the main?
That's my next point that we're getting to. I still think that we need to keep some distance between them.
Yeah.
I'm okay going to 35 feet between the coop and a residential dwelling on an adjoining property. I don't know how I feel about the current 5 feet from the property line. That was comfortable when I was a kid. We were a little bit closer than that. But that keeps it so that the mess is in my property.
Two houses down from me is right on the fence.
They're coop. Yeah.
Really?
Right on the fence.
I didn't approve that plan, just for the record.
Just the fence part of the coop.
Well, no, like the fence part of the run.
I guess I should. Okay, it's not
the coop. The run is there, but not the coop.
Mm.
Coop could be within 3 to 5 feet.
Yeah, it probably is if the run is there.
I'm not like stupid in that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you should be.
Roy, it is 6 feet from the property line.
That's the coop, not the run. The run can be around. Right?
In Roy, it includes all structures provided under the section, not just your coop.
So that
that's your coop or your run.
So the run is just a fence, right? You know,
5 feet is just like this.
So,
Yes, in Clinton it's 15 feet, which is
yeah.
The coop and run discussion.
Yeah.
So we're very, very lenient right now.
Right.
At 5 feet, because other cities are asking for more.
And that's, I believe, the 35 feet and the 25 feet for the other cities also go from all structures, not just the coop. Let's double check that. You can't put the coop here and then run the run right up next to the fence.
That's how Clinton is looking for theirs as well, because they point to the run as the exterior point. So it would be 35 feet from a neighbor to an adjoining property neighbor's home for all structures within the run.
What was the one that was 25? That's to your dwelling?
So that's Clinton, and it's all coops and enclosed areas, and in parentheses they specifically say chicken run. Shall be located in rear yard, shall be located not less than 5 feet from property line, not less than 10 feet from a dwelling on the same lot, and 25 feet from all dwellings on adjoining lots.
Okay. That's Clinton.
That's Clinton.
Huh. This site plan, either that's newer or this site plan is different.
This is their municipal code online.
Okay, so this site plan is, because this
that might be their old stuff.
I think this might be something good to be able to at least prepare for us to have.
Are you in the application?
Yeah, I'm in the application.
Yeah, I do. I do like that.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so what do we want to say for this then, as to adjust in our enforceable code?
I'm fine with the
Clinton numbers.
Yeah. The 25 feet from a adjacent structure, including the run, though, not just the coop, and then 10 feet from the residence, or was somebody saying they put them right up against their house?
And I think we want to avoid that because of the electrical potential. I think we should keep this as a separate structure, so keeping the 10 feet distance between the coop.
Because of electrical, what do you mean?
Like if they have an electrical fire in the coop.
Oh, here. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
They're directly adjacent to the house.
And then the house is going up, right? Okay.
So sure. I think having some distance is still will wise choice for us.
Because they're just going to be running an extension cord out there.
Yeah.
I would.
I mean, you're supposed to have separate stuff in the coop, but yes.
I would. Because I would be kind of, how often do you need it? You know, put it out there temporarily. And
mm-hmm. So that's what we want to do with Clinton House?
I think for the most part, that's an appropriate spacing. So we'll use the Clinton spacing. And we're all in agreement that maybe lowering the lot size to 6.
Yes.
Adding one.
Yes.
The coop height.
How many? So at 6,000, we allow 6.
Uh-huh.
And then 1 per 1,000.
Yeah.
Do you have above that?
Okay.
Yep. And you had, so you had 5.
Yeah. That's 4 eggs a day.
Yeah,
maybe 3.
I'm good.
Depends what kind of day it is.
I eat 4 eggs a year.
We'll get you some more eggs.
We used to go through a dozen eggs a day.
I bought some, I think, maybe.
Scramble them, you like them better.
No, you still have to put stuff on top of them because I don't like eggs.
You had a fresh farm egg, though.
Okay, so we're good. Let's keep going. The coop height, 7 feet at its highest point. There's a request to have discussion about 10 so that they can use sheds.
Wow. 10 basketball hoop height. That's pretty high.
Well,
you think yours is 12?
I think my shed is probably.
Six, seven,
10 or 12 feet, yeah. 10, I mean, it's big shed. It's
is that the square shed or the ones 10. With the
I
apex?
I bet it's probably 10, actually.
Can you jump up and touch the top?
Not now. A couple of years ago, I could. And I could jump. I can get 8 feet, and it's right before I can jump.
So, I haven't raised chickens. I don't know this. Like, what's the value of having a taller coop?
Well, usually if people are putting the coop in a shed, they're usually having an area in there that the hens, so hens roost. They have the laying area, and then they'll have the roosting area, so they might have the different bars in the roosting area in there, and it just gives, it's a little bit more space.
Different hopping spots.
Yeah, and it's a little more space. That's the other thing I don't know if we want to look at is the other cities do require so much space per chicken to make sure it's a sanitary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Per chicken, humanitarian-wise, like we're worried about the chickens.
Yeah, I think we should add that as a point for ours, as a new point.
And Clinton is 10 square feet per chicken and no larger than 150 square feet. Roy is 2 square feet. Per animal with a maximum of 12 square feet of floor area inside the coop.
2 square feet is.
Yeah, well, let's go back to the height.
Yeah.
Start on that, and
yeah.
Then you kind of jumped off that.
Well, because to me, the square feet, is that just the space on the ground?
Yes.
We're not talking
about the typically it is ground.
Yeah.
So, but like, I think what she's saying is, in we can talk to Catherine, but probably they have a shed, and like I said, I've got the shed that was on property when I bought it, that I could have turned into a chicken coop. And it's a big shed, it's probably 10 by 12, and 10 feet high. It's probably bigger than that. Probably 15
well,
by
but 12. That's to me where the square footage came into play.
Right.
Because if we limit to 150 square feet, you can't, you're 10 by 12 and it's 120.
Yeah.
So you're barely within that situation. You have the height that's there.
Yeah.
And so.
I mean, I'm okay with 10 feet high because everybody's backyard sheds are that going to be that high. A lot of them are. Not everybody, but a lot of them are that high.
I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea to, like he's saying, plan for people doing that. Because if you go on any of the backyard chicken groups, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're converting playhouses or sheds.
So let's change the maximum height. To 10 feet at the highest point. if we to do, I don't think 2 square feet for animals is the right number, but I don't think 10 is either.
What is the question have I didn't hear? Do they have a square
feet? Oh, I don't have West Point pulled up right now because some of those larger cities have much larger.
Yeah, well, the chickens in the coop, they're just sitting there, right?
You know,
they want to run around.
So yeah. Square foot.
Well, they're sitting, they're laying, they're nesting, and they're roosting.
For chicken includes whatever's in their coop and in their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I say I don't think 3. I think more is needed for that whole space.
Yeah, I do too.
Where are you getting the 2 to 4 number?
Well, I mean, it depends where I look. There's this one resource.
Yeah,
oh,
but but Roy does have 2 in theirs.
As the minimum.
So Roy has must provide a minimum of 2 square feet per animal with a maximum of 12 square feet of floor area per chicken to allow for free movement inside the coop. So that's just
inside
the coop.
The coop. Okay.
And then it says required attached a run is required. And it must be attached to the coop with a maximum size of 200 square feet. So they're not allowing somebody to have a coop without a run.
Okay. Can you guys listen to this one from Roy, if we can get Sarah to repeat it?
Oh, sure.
I think this is the correct approach for us to go.
So they have an enclosure section, and then under it they have coop/hutch. All animals kept under this section shall be housed within a covered, predator-proof, and well-ventilated coop. Must provide a minimum of 2 square feet per animal with a maximum of 12 square feet of floor area per chicken to allow for free movement inside the coop. And then they have no coop or hutch may exceed 7 feet in height. Enclosures shall have solid walls on all sides except for opening for access. Must have solid roof and built to prevent intrusion, including burrowing of all types of rodents, vermin, and predatory animals. Then they have a separate subsection for runs that says required attached to the coop with a maximum size of 200 square feet.
So that ensures that we're putting in space for them inside of the coop at 2 square feet per animal, up to 12. So our per animal.
Yeah.
Right? So
yep.
That would be, in our case, we're requiring it to be 12 square feet for 6.
So can the chickens be outside of the run ever?
So our current code says that they have to be in an enclosure. Roy says chickens are not allowed to roam. There must be a 6-foot fence surrounding the rear yard. So kind of sounds like they do let them free range in the yard.
I just wondered because my parents in Brigham, their neighbors have chickens. They have a big quarter acre lot.
Yeah.
And they have a coop in the middle of the yard.
And they free range,
they
yeah.
All over the place. The yard is fenced.
Clinton does not allow them to roam outside the coop or enclosed
yes.
areas.
Why
I know.
They say no?
Why do they say no?
Why do we say no?
I don't know.
But I say this is well before Sarah came.
I will say there of, hey, somebody's chicken is in my yard.
Yeah.
And back in Pennsylvania, a lot of the cities that would, the urban areas that would allow chickens to roam outside the coop, you had to clip the wings. That way they didn't get into your neighbor's yard. But if their dog got in the mine, it was fine.
Are they kind of hot flyover fences?
Oh, yes. I had to chase many a chicken many a half mile.
So are the ones supposed to have a net on the top, too?
Yeah.
Yes, they should.
Yeah, I think it's a fully enclosed.
I think we adopt that and just change the height to 10 feet.
The Roy one?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Using Roy's for all that description.
Good compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when you were reading through that, I noticed they keep saying animal and chicken, animal and chicken.
Because Roy allows for the
yeah, cause they,
chicken and
yeah.
rabbit for their total count. Number.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So on Ricky's question, do we want to allow them to roam outside the coop or keep it as is, where they must be enclosed?
I think
yeah.
it stays as is for
okay.
the
moment. Enclosed, yeah.
Because Clinton is that way, so I think we have some precedent that our direct neighbor, one of them, keeps them enclosed.
Because
we're also asking for ours to be.
Well,
I think if we're giving them sufficient
space
like that.
Stop chickens from going in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you're fine with the heating device because we've t- sanitary. I think that addresses everything that we talked about with the statement that we are not currently going to allow for ducks. From our two comments and what we kind of wanted to make sure we addressed on it. Are we in agreement that we kind of hit that guy?
Yep.
So somebody proposed this motion that we can adopt and then make this amendment into the process.
Motion to, we'll have to have a public hearing.
Yeah, but I think the motion I'm looking for is that.
Does it go to the attorney first? Or?
Yeah, we can make a motion to send it to the attorney.
That we process it as we've written it to prepare it to go.
Yeah.
So I move that we take, that Tara takes the notes that we have put together with the new guidelines for chickens and send them to the attorney so that can put together so we can proceed to a public hearing on new ordinance for chickens. Does that cover it?
I think it gets to where I was hoping it to get to.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
We
got a first. Sorry, a second, yeah. Please. Mike is a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay. Never thought I'd be deciding how to handle chickens. Okay, the next item on our action items agenda is to discuss and approve recommendations of a chair and an alternate chair for city council. As you guys likely know, maybe you didn't.
I did, yeah.
Okay. Laura is stepping down as chair and stepping down as a planning commissioner at the end of this month. So we will get her a gift. Sarah, can I talk to you about that afterwards?
Yep.
Open it up for discussion for a chair.
I nominate you.
Careful first.
Second.
I did ask if you were going to. I'm not calling for a vote. Did you get a chance to talk to Mayor Wiggle?
So Nicole said Planning Commission chooses.
Okay.
The mayor and council will.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't want you to have to pay me $5.
Well, then I saw how long my term was coming up. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize there were 4 year terms.
Give me both.
Because I think this is now over my third term. I'll have to look.
I know your number's like way back when all
back
the start days
when dinosaurs were around.
So. Well, not that far back, but.
We do. Mayor can't accept me. Council says nope. Okay. So I don't have an issue being the chair. I think, as you saw tonight, sometimes my schedule gets a little bit hectic, and that's, I think, my concern for us as a planning commission. I can try to work around that as much as I can, but it's not always a guaranteed situation.
Is it the day or the time, or both?
I generally don't leave work until 7 on most days. So,
so you're actually leaving work early when you come to the end?
I left. In certain circumstances, my work doesn't even finish until 6:30. Most of the time, they're asking me to stay till 7. But I don't have that task to do every Thursday. I just didn't plan my life well enough today to make sure that task and my assignment today wasn't with that task. So, but I have been late with some regularity. I guess is a better way to say that I'm not always the consistent one here.
One thing to keep in mind, the chair can't vote, so whoever you nominate to be chair, you're going to lose their vote. So just keep that in mind.
The role of the chair is to guide the discussion, make sure all the points are there, and then call for votes and motions. So.
And keep everyone in,
yeah, and if
in
it,
order.
If, yeah, if it becomes out of hand, then it's on the chair to make sure that it's brought back. That being said, are there any other nominations for chair? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that we recommend for the chair that myself be the chair. Can we do the chair, then alternate chair, all in one motion together, or do you want them separate?
Let's do it separate, just to make sure.
Okay, so then I'll entertain a motion for the recommendation for chair to the city council as Scott Stevenson as chair. I'll entertain a motion.
I make the motion that Scott is the chair.
Thank you, Judy. So first, second. Thank you, Ricky. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
That was unanimous as well. Okay. The alternate chair has that similar role whenever I can't make it to a meeting. So you've seen me take in for Laura. It's kind of a meeting. That's the situation. So. Would anyone like to try to run that? It's training. It's a training round, essentially. I think my first time around, when I was as the alternate chair, I have to be there once or twice in the whole year that I was there as the alternate chair. And this is a year long appointment, so. Okay. Don't everybody jump at one time?
I'll try.
I say I'm having a day this thing, so I might be kind of busy.
That's true. That is true. Okay. I've heard a motion.
Now, we have a unique situation since we only have three people and I can vote on himself, so I think he has to recuse himself from the vote, and then I think you have to be a voting member on this one, I think.
And I think we're probably close, but I think we're splitting hairs because this is a recommendation to city council from what we think should be. They're the final vote.
Okay.
Per se.
Maybe we don't have to do that.
He's acting chair, so he can vote, right?
No, technically acting chair can't vote, yeah.
Okay. So, The motion would be for Mike Hartwick to be our alternate chair for the coming year.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. A second? Mike, okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, and I think you should probably just say, I think I voted for myself when I was there.
All right.
Okay.
So, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
That was unanimous as well. Okay. Thank you for your confidence in me. No more chickens.
Based on your performance this evening, definitely it support you.
Excellent.
Awesome job.
Thank you. All right. Both Judy and I are up for reappointment to the Planning Commission for a 4-year term. Are there any concerns of those ones? Big reimport. I didn't get to do that for the chair. And plus, the council and mayor still have the final say, so.
Oh, good.
We have a week to mess up.
Could you just run rampant in the neighborhood?
Are there any concerns about that? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the recommendation for reappointment for Judy Justice to City Planning Commission.
I move that we approve the recommendation. Judy Justice is planning commissioner for the term of January 26 to December 23rd.
Okay. I have a first. Second, Ridley. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And in a similar situation for myself, the reappointment of planning commissioner for Scott Stevenson to the city council for the term 2026 to December 23.
I make that a motion.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's also unanimous. Okay. Thank you again, guys. Going to the next session, the Planning Commission general updates or remarks. I'll start down with you again, Commissioner Hartwick.
I have nothing today.
Okay. Thank you for accepting the time to look at the group pumps. I appreciate that. Commissioner Ridley? Justice?
Nothing, thank you.
Okay, we'll turn it over to the city staff. Councilman Carson.
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage you guys to, when you get time to look at your plan, if you're going to start doing it, and then you got busy with construction stuff, right? So I think it's on your
backburner. City backburner.
So, I mean, if something's not working, you know, for you guys, you would like to change your plans.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so a couple of things. We do need another regular planning commissioner, because after January, we will only have you four. So if anybody ever is not there, we won't have a quorum. So if we, if Rodney would like to become a full planning commissioner, and you guys want that put on the agenda for next month to make a decision and recommend that to City Council, I can put that on the agenda. The chair would be in charge of deciding that.
So
technically, that's
why
I'm
right now. In touch with him and ask him.
Yeah, so I will ask him.
Okay.
I was hoping to ask him this evening, but he's not here, so. I guess technically Laura has to decide that, but
yeah,
if we all can,
we should,
I'm sure she's fine with it.
Plan towards that.
Okay.
And include him and move him from an alternate towards.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up is we should have, technically we should have 5 planning commissioners and 3 alternates. That's what's in the city code. So if we can get more people on planning commission, we really should. So if you can spread the word and let people know, the application is on our website, and we would love to have people apply and join planning commission. And then the other thing I had was we've had some interest in on the northern end of Sunset. You guys know where the autism school used to be? So right when you enter Sunset from Roy, you've got Shaco's that's on your left, and then that big brick building that's the first property in Sunset when you enter Sunset. So that one has been for sale, along with the other parcel that's adjacent to it that kind of goes out around the back. Both of those were for sale. They did, they are under contract as far as I know. But we had a developer come who is interested in not only those 2 lots, but also 3 lots behind that, the whole way back to where Grounds for Coffee is.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
thank
this,
you, Scott, for
pulling
that up. Behind that, there's also a large parking lot area that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, which is owned by the association that owns Sunset Square. And then in that area, we have a couple of small lots. I think I've pulled it up before on here. But there's a couple of small lots in there. Some of them are owned by private owners, and some of them are owned by the city. Let's see here. I think if I pull it up on the counties, it's going to be a much better image for you guys to look at here. I'm going to move it over here and try to move it over here. Okay. Yeah, so this developer is interested in this lot here. They're interested in that, and then all of this.
Wow.
They've looked over our form-based code. It is neighborhood center. They are interested in doing a mixed-use type thing. They've spoken to at least Golden Spike Realty, and they said their plan would be to keep the commercial that's there, and incorporate it into their mixed-use thing. So I do have their documents. They just sent in this week. They're ready for a form-based code pre-submission meeting. So I will be going over the list to see who's next. I want to say it's you, Scott, but I'm not 100% positive. But I just wanted to know how many of you are available on the date that we've set. That way, if whoever is available is not available, or whoever's next on the list is not available, then I could go on to others. We're looking at December 18th. It's this upcoming Thursday at 11 a.m., because we do need to, for this meeting, we do want to make sure that we have the mayor in it as well, because if they go about attempting to do this plan, they would have to acquire the lots that are owned by Sunset City, and that's a decision that obviously the mayor and city council would have to be involved with if it came to that point.
Yeah. Mayor Bangender tried to get all those properties consolidated. He had a heck of a time on a couple of the property owners. wanting to budge on them is...
Interesting. So thank you for mentioning that, because I may need to reach out to him because we've had a difficult time finding documents. That association goes back so far, the Association for Sunset Square. Trying to think of what it's called. Let me just pull it up.
Maybe that was one of the problems we had.
And so finding the documentation on that is not easy. Nicole was actually...
property together for a developer to maybe, look at getting it, using it.
Nicole actually went to the Davis County Recorder's Office this week and was hunting, trying to find some documents. But so that's the reason for the daytime meeting, because we do want to make sure that it's at the time that not only the mayor can come, but we do want to have Public Works Director Monroe in there as well, just because obviously that would be a big big area and big to do, as well as there is some concern.
Are you sending out an invite, or you have already?
So for the pre-submission meetings, the way that they work, we can only have one paid planning commission member there. We can have a second come as volunteer. So if there is somebody that really would like to make sure that they're there and come as the volunteer that's unpaid, I can certainly make sure that I contact you. We just can't have more than that because we'd have a quorum. If you would want to come as a member of city council and planning liaison, that I can certainly make sure that it goes out to you as well.
Well, yeah, I'm liaison with the property development as well, council, so that would be good.
That would make very much sense for
you. So you would like me to send that to you? Okay. Yeah, I can loop you in on that.
What?
You are available?
I am available.
Okay.
I'm available.
Okay.
I have a breakfast on the work.
Okay.
I'm coming back from a business trip the night before, so I would prefer not to be on that if possible.
Okay, not a problem. So if you're not next and Mike is not interested, then I'll just make sure I send it out to these two once I confirm with everyone else. I want to see it stop, but I'm not positive.
Yeah. Well, just keep going down the list.
Yeah.
And I'd like to go, even if I'm not.
Okay. Good
to know.
If you attend, that would be amazing. I don't know who's going to be the paid versus not, so just whoever's next on the list.
I will check the list and I'll email out and let you guys know, and then I'll have a calendar invite in there as well. Another thing for you guys to think about before we go into that meeting is, I don't know how many of you have ever driven through Sunset Square the back way to get your coffee and use that area of the parking lot like a road. You're not supposed to. It's technically not a public road. Our city road ends right there. So I don't know if that's something we want to think of suggesting in that meeting. Also, the developer brought up that if they would acquire this piece of property, and even if they wouldn't, they are potentially interested in making that more appealing for people that come into Sunset, and putting some sort of welcome sign there to welcome people to the city of Sunset. So I don't know if you guys have ideas surrounding that, but whoever comes to the meeting, if you want to bring some ideas with you.
Is that the dog place?
You see the new freeway.
So this is the dog place that is not renewing their business license because they're closing the business. Are we talking about the same?
That old lady that owned that one.
Because this one's new. The lady that's in there is fairly new.
The same building, but different newer business, maybe?
Yeah, this is a fairly new business. She just started last year, and she's already.
Because that's right next to Century 21, right?
By Golden Spike, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah, you said that's cool.
Yeah.
But the you mentioned that essentially they would be redeveloping the property, but they already would have Golden Spike as a tenant.
That's what their plan is that they conveyed to me.
Which makes a huge benefit, because they have somebody that's interested in being there. Kind of floor tenant, and getting a new building.
Other businesses that are along there as well.
Grounds for Coffees and the whole mix.
Grounds for Coffee is right here, and I did double check because I wanted to make sure the neighborhood center in Form Basically does allow for drive-throughs, and it does, because that was a concern for me, because obviously that's a community staple right there.
Sarah, you mentioned that only one sign can be paid. Is that
That is per, I believe it was whenever we came up with the fee for this and it went before city council, that's what was decided. from my understanding.
I'm sorry, the question.
I think if two are there, they both have hands. If there's something that's not left in that house.
How can two be a quorum if it takes
two? Two's not a quorum. Three's a quorum. That's why we can have two there, but we can't have three.
I was requesting the one
paid
and the other not.
Yeah, I believe that was when you guys approved it. That's what was approved when the stipend amount was approved with you guys.
Was that like long ago?
It was.
It
wasn't too long ago.
Within the last 2 years.
It was
part of our form-based code of how we wanted to change it.
Was it?
I want to say it was early. It was like early 2024 because it was right after we adopted.
No, and I think it's something for us to continue to look at and say, okay, what's this look like?
Because it's a nice little stipend.
Well,
it's a stipend, but you're also coming in for your time. I think that's the situation. Is we would like you to be there, and if you're going to be there, you should be paid.
Sure.
But also, we have done pre-submission meetings where we never get, there's no funding. It's just draining our funds because the developers don't pay anything for that meeting. So I think on a deeper level, we might want to consider having a fee for that pre-submission meeting so that we can pay those planning commission members.
And I think we're still, we're in place, but we're in the see of having these pre-submission meetings. And I think that's what's important for us.
So that was my only update with that.
Interesting.
So I just wanted you guys to be aware of that, and I'll try to get that. I'm going to try to get a hold of the developer tomorrow morning and get that confirmed. That way I can get that calendar invite out to you guys tomorrow, since that's coming up.
You said it's at 11 a.m.?
Very soon. We're planning for December 18th at 11 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the developer's the only one that's not confirmed currently on that.
And the mayor.
And the mayor.
Because he was not in today. He's usually in Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I thought he'd be in, and I'd chat with him, but he wasn't, so. Yes, I will. Yeah.
Okay. Without any other business to discuss, entertain a motion to adjourn. That's the easy one.
I move that we adjourn.
Commissioner Hartwig, a second.
Second.
Judy. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Pass it unanimously.
Time.
8:24.
Yep.